Well, hey, everybody. My name is Allie Patterson. It's great to be with you here tonight at Crossroads. I don't know about you, but I've really been enjoying the last couple of weeks when we've been talking about the mission that Jesus left his followers to go reach people, whether that's neighbors next door or strangers around the world. That's the literal mission that he gave us. And we're going to talk about today and next week, once you reach them, what do you actually say? We asked you guys what was in the way of sharing your faith, and you told us that you're not sure what to say. You feel not knowledgeable, maybe a little bit underqualified to talk about whatever it is you're supposed to be talking about, and maybe a little afraid to be seen as pushy or preachy or lose a friend over saying the wrong thing. I've been there. I feel that way too. So we decided to double down on two things that really go into sharing your faith and reaching your people. So this week we're going to be talking about how to share the gospel. And next week, Chuck is going to talk about how to share your story. These are the two components that really go into whatever it means to share your faith with your people. And we're doing this because we want to be equipped as a community for the mission that Jesus has us on. So let me pray as we start. Lord, I just ask that you would be here and that you would stir something in us about the message of your gospel. Help us to understand what is that and how do we share it in a way that sounds like good news. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I have noticed that my first experience with something tends to make me define it in a certain way. You know, however I first encounter something. I thought about this last week when I was on Instagram, you know, scrolling reels like we all tend to do. And I found one that was that said, how to dance like a 45-year-old. I'm not going to lie. I felt low-key a little targeted by this. Not sure why the algorithm gave it to me, but suddenly I realized, oh, this business, all this is hardcore Gen X vibes. If you do these, if you're doing this in your kitchen, you probably started dancing around 1993, 1992, I'm just saying. You know, this is, I didn't realize, 30 seconds before I saw this reel, I would have just called this dancing. Just would have called it dancing. Now, listen, if this happens to be anywhere in your era, I'm just saying the one thing they left off the list was clearly the Running Man, right? Obviously. I mean, seriously, if you did any dancing in the 90s, you know the Running Man. But if you're 20, by the way, and you're laughing at me right now, all I'm going to say is twerking doesn't age well. We'll see how your video looks in 20 years. But the first experience that you have with something does tend to make you define it. You know, as I was looking at that, I'm like, oh, that's not just dancing. That's dancing the way I learned it, the way I experienced it, the way I think about it. The same is true for the gospel. And I think this is why we sometimes have a hard time with it, because we encountered someone sharing the gospel with us in a way that maybe we didn't like very much. You know, somebody rang your doorbell at a time you didn't want to answer the door and talk to that guy, or somebody was yelling at you through a megaphone when you're just trying to go to a Reds game, you know, and here's somebody sharing the gospel with you. And so we take on however we first encountered the gospel, and a lot of us, you know, take on the sort of awkwardness or the judgment we felt or the weirdness of that situation. And I get it. I just want you to consider today, there might be a way to do it that's actually warm and real and kind and good. And I just, my gut tells me, just based on the people in my own life, that that's not how a lot of us first encountered someone sharing the gospel with us. But I hope that we will change that today. When I first started thinking about the fact that Jesus asks us to go and share this, he doesn't ask just professional Christians. He sends all of his followers out and tells us to go and make disciples, to actually go share the message of his kingdom. And that's for every single person that wants to follow Jesus. And when I realized, like, oh, that's me. You know, that implicates me. I got to figure out how to do this or how I feel about it. And it was, you know, years back. And I thought, I'm in the right ballpark. Like, I know I have the right, you know, Jesus ideas in there. It's the cross and Jesus and
the kingdom of God and forgiveness. And, you know, I had like this ballpark of correct Jesus ideas, but it really bothered me that if somebody asked me to just succinctly tell them, what is the message of the gospel? I wasn't totally sure I could do it. So I sent myself on a little search. It just kind of lodged itself in my brain. And I thought, I'm going to see if I only had 10 words or less to tell somebody what's the heart of the gospel message. I wonder if I could do it in 10 words or less. And so I went searching. Like, where are the clearest places in scripture that articulate the gospel? And I landed on 1 Corinthians 15 after a little bit of digging. And this is not only the clearest articulation of the heart of the gospel message, it is also the oldest. Paul wrote these words probably 20 years, in the neighborhood of 20 years, maybe even a little less than that, after Jesus died on the cross. And these words were written down. So if you want to know what the gospel is, this is not only the oldest, but the clearest. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Now, here we go. That Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. Amen. There it is. Heart of the gospel message, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and raised according to the scriptures. Now he goes on, if you were to go on, you would read him talk about the people that witnessed this. He's recalling the witnesses to this account. And he says that the first important thing is that Christ died for our sins, was put in a grave, and actually came back to life. So here's my 10 words. You ready for it? These are the 10 words. Took them straight from what Paul says is the matter of first importance at hand. And I decided, for me, if I only had 10 words, I would use Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. The gospel in 10 words. Jesus died for our sins and he rose from the dead. Now, Paul says that's the matter of first importance. And that's really critical because Paul himself actually goes on to write deep, theological, practical, personal, all kinds of things that connect to that gospel that you might wonder about or want to know. By what power? Why did he have to die? By what power was he raised? You know, all of the things that how should then we live as a result of this truth? All of that stuff Paul wrote a ton about. But the matter of first importance that the early church taught as the core of the gospel message is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day, all according to the scriptures. Now, there's kind of four essential components. If we're going to share that message with the people in our life, I think we have hesitancy sometimes, like these things that make us go, can I talk to people about that? And it's maybe you're like me and you just have to kind of put it in your head and go, okay, that is the gospel. But I think it's a little more than that. I think our hesitation is also based on what is that story actually about? We kind of react to it without putting it into words. So I think there's four things buried in here. And I want you to simultaneously feel me on two fronts here as we talk about these four things. I want you to feel my compassion that these can be difficult sort of concepts for us and for other people. And I also want you to feel my challenge. Like, there's part of me that goes like, womp, womp, that's the message. You know, there's like both of those things going on. It's hard. And also, if you're going to share the gospel with someone, we have to embrace the fact that first, this is a story about Jesus. This is not a story about us. I think sometimes we default to telling our own story, even good ones, about how God has impacted our life, which is amazing and critical when we're trying to relate to other people. But your story is not the gospel. The gospel is the gospel. And it's a story about Jesus. Paul said that Christ died, that Christ was buried, that Christ was raised. It's a story about Jesus. And the name of Jesus tends to make people react. You know, your name and my name, you know, they don't do that. You know, it's easier to say, this is my story. But when you tell his story, it causes a reaction in other people. The second thing it's about is sin. He died for something. In order to tell his story, we have to tell what it's about. And he died, according to Paul, for our sins. That can be tough, right? You know, how do you get into that conversation with somebody? That's the guy in the megaphone yelling, "You're a sinner," you know? That's how a lot of people have done it. I want to propose to you in a minute, there might be a better way into that conversation, but it's still about sin. The third thing it's about is resurrection. This is kind of where the rubber meets the road. Like, we love to talk about other theological concepts and what God is like, and we want to, you know, talk around the issue. But at the end of the day, the gospel message is about a guy, a real human life, that was killed and put in a grave and then stood up out of that grave 3 days later and walked out of it. At some point, we have to get to that part of the story, that the heart of the gospel message is about a literal, historical, physical resurrection and what that means for our life. It's about resurrection. And the last thing it's about sounds a little friendlier. It's about grace. Grace. Now, that word did not appear in the passage, but I want to suggest to you that this funny repetition, according to the scriptures, is really a message of grace. Because according to the scriptures was repeated twice, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and then he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Now, why do I say that according to the scriptures is really about grace? It's because it indicates, as Paul said in his little preamble to the gospel message, that God had a plan to save you. He said, it's by this message that you're saved. It's by this gospel that you're saved. So if God had a plan that he put into place, and then he told people about it and wrote it down in the scriptures, and it happened hundreds of years prior to the plan actually happening according to the scriptures, then you and I get to rest in the understanding that God was coming to save us from the very beginning. That this is a message of grace, that God had a plan to save you, and that is his grace to you. But also to tell people about that sounds really good, but also then you have to say, you need saved. Like, that's the awkward part, you know? And oh, by the way, this is the way that God has set forth in his plan for that to be accomplished. So I just want to acknowledge, like, the tension, you know, that we feel, because we kind of get what's underneath this message, even though the message itself comes down to 10 simple words, that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. That in and of itself is not a complicated message, but we get the implications underneath it. You know what I mean? The gospel is not like any other message that you could give. The gospel bears power. I think you can feel that even in the room. When we start talking about the gospel, you feel the power of that message. And you feel the idea that you have to respond in some way to that message. You either accept it or you reject it. And guess what is underneath every revival that has ever happened on the face of the earth? It's that message. If you were at the Billy Graham Crusade with me in the Columbus Clippers Stadium in 1993, I was like, what is this thing? I think I'm going to go check it out. You know, I just got my driver's license, and I was like, I think I'm going to go see this thing. What is this spectacle? And guess what message I heard there? That Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. Guess what you're going to hear at base camp when you come out on November 1st and 2nd? You're going to hear that Jesus died for our sins and he rose from the dead. There's a massive event called Unite that's been saving thousands of college students all over the country. It's coming to Cincinnati, by the way, November 5th. And guess what those college students are being saved by? The name of Jesus, who died for their sins and rose from the dead. It's the same message over and over and over again in history. Every geography, every generation, this is the message. And it's the same message that you and I are called to actually go out and somehow figure out how to share from our life, from our mouth, from our point of view. You know where I first heard this message myself was actually in someone's living room, not at a big event. I was actually on the living room floor of a couple called Pat and Jody. Now, Pat and Jody were associated with kind of a new church in the area I grew up in. Some of my friends were involved, so I would go with them sometimes to some of their youth events. It was a pretty small group of kids. We would gather at Pat and Jody's house, and I remember sitting on the hardwood floor. I actually remember, it's funny what sticks in your mind in important moments in your life, but I remember sitting on the hardwood floor in their living room, kind of feeling a little uncomfortable, and there were kids everywhere, and I heard Pat and Jody, who I knew cared about us. I didn't know why they cared about me, but I knew they cared about me, and all of a sudden, they're standing in front of us explaining that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. And that night on their living room floor, I actually believed that for myself. That was the night that I actually began to believe. And I experienced something I didn't have words for at the time, but now I know. Galatians 2:20 talks about it. It says that when you come to believe, that it is no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. And I could feel that night. I could feel that. And I didn't fully understand it. I didn't have the right words for it. But guess what had to happen? For me to be saved, for my life to be saved, somebody had to stand in front of me and actually say, Jesus died for your sins and he rose from the dead. Do you believe that? You know, somebody at some point has to actually deliver that message. And for me, it was Pat and Jody on their living room floor. And that's why we want to share it, because we want our people to live, right? More than we want to spare ourselves the awkwardness, we want our friends and our family to live, not just today, but we want all of the people we love to have an abundant life, and not just an abundant life now, but one for all of eternity. So there's no plan B here, folks. We got to figure out how do we get this message out of our own mouth, and that's what I want to spend the rest of our time talking about. I think there's three ways that are very relational, normal, everyday things that I've encountered, and I thought, what if I shared these with you with the quotes that go with them? Because I promise you, someone called me on the phone this week and said one of these three things to me. I'll bet you've heard somebody say one of these three things to you maybe in the last few days. If not, then definitely in the last few weeks. And as you talk to the people in your life that God has put in your life, I want you to consider listening for these entry points for the gospel that are not weird or preachy, but actually sound like the good news that they are, because your friends and your family and the people that God might walk you into or have you, you know, discuss something with or have an encounter with at work or in a store or at school or wherever, what if you listened because they're actually telling you something about the good news they need to hear? The first thing that over and over and over again people have said to me, I know they've said this to you, that's an entry point for the gospel, is I feel so bad about that. Oh, I feel so bad about that. Some of us would say, I feel so bad about that from something that happened 30 years ago. And we've been dragging it along with us all this time. And other times, it's like something you just said to your kid, and you're like, oh, I feel the weight of that. I feel so bad about that. Now, some of us, this is going to ring really true for, we tend to carry these things with us, tend to hold them really heavy. Others of us, maybe not so much. I walked into my son's room, and I'm like, maybe he's on the other end of the spectrum. My boys, when they were younger, let's call it like 8 and 10, 9 and 11, something in that neighborhood, they shared a big room. And I walked in with a load of laundry, and I found one of my boys rolling kind of wildly, sort of log roll style around on one of the beds in the room, naked. What's going on here? I walk in with the laundry, and I'm like, explain yourself. What are you doing? And he looks at me and he goes, hey, Mom. So I walk in further to discover he's sopping wet, like totally sopping wet, rolling around on the bed. And I was like, but what is happening right now? And he goes, oh, yeah, I just got out of the shower. I didn't have a towel. Are you serious right now? All of you people that are either were a 10-year-old boy or have had a 10-year-old boy are like, yeah, that feels about right. That checks out. So he's log rolling naked to dry himself off because he didn't have a towel in the shower. And then I was like, that's not your bed. And he goes, I'm not going to get my own bed wet. All I'm saying is some of us carry the weight of our sin a little heavier than others. I'm thinking he's on one end of the spectrum, but some of us are on the other, and we really need somebody in our life to tell us that Jesus died for our sin. 1 Corinthians 15, that's what we just said, that there was one central issue to the gospel, and it was our sin. And the good news that that friend, that family member needs to hear is that you can be set free from the weight you've been dragging around. Romans 3 talks about the gospel from this angle. Here's what it says. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace. Wow. That is a righteousness apart from the law. That should feel like really good news, because there's a way to deal with that weight of sin, the one that we tend to drag around with us, that has nothing to do with you actually rewinding your life and not doing that thing. Because you're done. It's over. You're dragging that around. And I would say you're dragging around the legal sentence. Like, to feel that weight is actually appropriate. The word that is used here is justification. That's a legal term, because you are under a sentence. And Jesus has taken that sentence on for you. That means that you can be set free from that. You don't have to be the one that drags it around anymore. The place I shared the gospel, where I got this message like deeply, deeply in my bones, I understood it in a new way or with a new depth, is when I shared the gospel inside of a prison. About an hour from where my feet are is a women's prison in the state of Ohio, and I've been up there many times to do various things, and one time I was both sharing my story and sharing the gospel in a session that we had with the women one night, and I realized as I was meeting these women who are moms like me and wives like me and sisters and friends and daughters like me, and they have their own stories and their own families, and they would give absolutely anything for someone to walk in the door and say, you know what? I'm going to serve out your sentence. You go on home. You go on home. Not one of them would have said no. Not one of them wouldn't have fallen on their face in gratitude for whoever okayed this little plan. And I walked out that night thinking, oh, I understand the gospel a little bit differently. I understand what it means for him to justify me, to take that sentence off of me so that I get to walk free. He became the criminal on the cross serving the sentence. And you get to take his place as the favored son at the family table. What? Oh my gosh, is that good news? Especially if you're the one dragging around the weight of your sin. Okay, you ready for number two? Second thing, this is the second thing I hear people say over and over at some point in your life. We all hit the wall and we say, nothing is ever gonna change here. Nothing is ever gonna change here. I've hit this place, almost everybody I know that's more than 15 years old has hit the wall where what you can do and your efforts to change something are not going to work. Do you ever have those power of positive thinking people in your life? And I'm like, you know what? Just save your breath, you know? Like, that is just not going to do it. Something else is wrong with me. Like, I've hit a wall and I'm done. I have no power left. Nothing is going to change. That's such a helpless place to be and such a normal place to get. I was thinking about this recently because one of my daughters is a runner. She runs high school cross country. She had a fantastic freshman season, came back as a sophomore this year, and her times kept getting worse and worse and worse, like weirdly, noticeably worse, to the point where she was like, what in the world is going on? Like, I'm training and I'm actually getting worse. How does that work? And one of her coaches actually suggested that it was all in her head. Have you ever had someone do that to you? Whatever's wrong, this helplessness you're feeling, it's all in your head. And she, on the other hand, was just saying, maybe I'm just not good. Maybe I thought I was good. Maybe I thought I could do this, and I just can't. Like, maybe I just don't have the capacity in me. It's over. I'm not a runner. I thought I was, and I'm not. And instead, what we found out through a couple of tests is that deep, deep, deep inside, in her very cells, she had frighteningly low iron to the point where almost no oxygen was being transferred into her muscles, so she couldn't sustain her race. Friends, that is exactly what happens to us when we hit that wall. When we hit a wall, it's not in your mind. It's not that you couldn't do it. It's that something deep within you doesn't have the power. And the good news you need in that space is that the gospel is a story about resurrection. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 told us, that Christ was buried in a grave, and then he got up 3 days later and he walked out of that grave by some power of resurrection. If you're in the place where you feel like nothing's ever going to change, you're hopeless, helpless, powerless, done, you need the gospel. The good news told to you through the angle of resurrection. I want you to hear that when people say this to you in your life. And I want you to think Romans 6. Listen to this. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. And what was his resurrection? It was by the power of God. Not by the power in him, not by the power of his humanity, but by the divine power of the Spirit of God. And Paul writes later that that same Spirit lives in everyone who has received Christ by faith. That is the story of the gospel, that your friends who say, I'm helpless, I'm powerless, it can't change. And you could say, I actually know a way that it might. I know somebody who has the power deep within them that you don't have within you. That is the message of the gospel. Okay, last one, third one. This is the one that somebody in my own life who I love very, very much, one of my closest people, called me this week and said, I am totally in the dark. I have no idea where to go. As a matter of fact, he made it really specific. He said, I feel like I've lost the plot of my own life. I am so in the dark. Has someone ever said that to you, implied that to you? Maybe that's been you at some point. You're just lost. You have no idea where to go. I interacted with a woman in my hair salon one day, and I got to share the gospel with her. That's right. The sun did not do these highlights. Occasionally, I have to sit in the salon with foils in my hair, and you ladies who feel me know that you just sit there while you process. So I was processing, and there was a woman next to me doing the same, and I noticed she didn't look very well, and she had kind of teary eyes, and one thing led to another, and we started talking, and she had just experienced someone extremely close to her who was young and had died. Suddenly, untimely, tragically. And she said some version of these words to me. I am so lost in the dark. I have no idea where to go, what to do, what I'm supposed to do now. And the good news in that space, in that lost, dark space, is that God had a plan to save you, that grace comes to find you in the dark. That's what the 1 Corinthians 15 message says. When it says that Christ died according to the scriptures and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, what that should tell you in your mind is that God had a plan from the very beginning. He knew you were going to end up in the dark. And he made a plan by grace to come and save you. Grace comes to find you in the dark. He already knew you were going to end up there. So as I was talking to her, I got to kind of gently share with her, I have too felt like I was lost in the dark. I too have felt like that. And that's where your story comes in. That's what we're going to talk about next week. And guess what? There was somebody named Jesus that I called out to, and he came and he found me in the dark. I didn't have to think my way out. I didn't have to work my way out. I didn't have to strategize the next step. He literally came and got me in the dark and took me somewhere else. That's what Colossians 1 articulation of the gospel reads. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He has rescued you out of the dark. There's a kingdom you were born into, and it has a claim on your life, and you will end up in the darkness. But guess what? According to the scriptures, God made a plan. According to his grace, he executed that plan because he knew he was going to have to come find you in the dark. It used the word redemption. This is another Bible-y sounding word. When you redeem something, you buy it back at a price. Guess what you get to do with anything you buy back at a price? You get to take it wherever you want. You walk in a store today and you buy the price on the item, you get to take that item and just do whatever you want with it. It's yours. And guess what he wants to do? He wants to take you out of the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. That's what he did with the price that he paid for you. And this kingdom of light that you're walking into with him, when he makes this transfer, when you come to believe and he makes this transfer, here's what the Bible says about this kingdom, that God himself will be your light, that his word is a lamp for your feet and a light to your path, where you are called a child of light, and where if you're not in the light today, he will walk you to it. And it says the path of the righteous is like the morning sun shining ever brighter until the full light of day. He won't walk away from you until you can see ahead with him again. This is the message of the gospel. This is the good news. When your friend says, I am so lost, I am so in the dark here, they don't need your advice. They need told someone can come get you. And his name is Jesus. And so these are just three ways. These are three ways that the gospel is presented in the scriptures that we can have in our minds as we interact in our real relationships. Because somebody is going to say to you, I feel so bad about that. If somebody else is going to tell you they're lost in the dark, somebody else is going to tell you their life can never change, they've hit the wall again, it's the same thing over and over, they're done for. And you're the one that God sent to make the life-altering, history-changing announcement of the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins and he rose from the dead. That's the message of the kingdom of God. And we are plan A. We are plan A to spread that message as far and as wide as we can, that by faith in that gospel, and that we overcomplicate this all the time, by faith in that gospel that Christ was buried and raised on the third day, dying for our sins according to the scriptures, by that gospel and nothing else, we are saved and we get to live a new life. Wow. Oh my gosh. I want to return to a song that we sang earlier, just one quick verse as we finish up, because it is yet another articulation of the gospel. It says, this wild exchange you offer us. I gave my worst, you gave your blood. Seems hard to believe. You're telling me you chose the cross. You're telling me I'm worth that much. That's exactly what God is telling you. That you are worth that much, that he already paid the price, that he already got you out of the dark. And the question on the table before your friends and before you today is, have you actually said, yes, that's for me, I believe that. Maybe you're like I was on the living room floor of Pat and Jody, where I was like, how have I sat in church and has no one ever said this? Or was I just not listening? You know, it's like one of those moments where you go, I don't know why I didn't hear it before. I just didn't. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you've never fully wrestled with what the gospel is and you're like, actually, I believe. Great. Let's sing these words together and let these words be your yes to Jesus and his good news, maybe for the very first time.
Something isn't adding up. This wild exchange you offer us. I gave my worst, you gave your blood. Seems hard to believe. You're telling me you chose the cross. You're telling me I'm worth that much. Measure of your love, how else could I sing? I'm completely, deeply sold out, sincerely abandoned. I'm completely, freely, hands to the ceiling enamored.
is the first day that you have ever received the gospel as the truth for your life and completely surrendered your life to Jesus, we have a prayer team who would absolutely love to pray for you personally and individually right now, but let me pray for all of us, and then we will see you next week where Chuck's going to double down on how to share your story. Lord, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your grace. Help us to be people of conviction and courage who share the one saving message that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. Lord, help us to sell out completely for that. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, see you next week.